Picture, for a moment, the lobby of an old municipal building somewhere on a quiet morning. There's a room off the main hallway, with high ceilings and a row of folding chairs and a small wooden lectern at the front. About 30 people are sitting in the chairs, waiting. They're dressed in their best clothes, the careful clothes you put on when something formal is about to happen. Some of them are holding small flags. Some of them are holding the hands of children. A few are quietly wiping their eyes. They have been waiting for this morning for years, in some cases for decades. The room is a courtroom, technically, but it has been arranged today for a ceremony. The people in the chairs are about to become citizens of a country that, until this morning, they have lived in but did not officially belong to. A judge enters. She walks to the lectern. She speaks briefly. She asks each person, in turn, to raise their hand and to say a few short words. They do. After the last person has spoken, she pauses. She says, "On behalf of the country I serve, welcome." The 30 people, now 30 new citizens of a country with a long and conservative tradition of who belongs and who does not, applaud quietly. The ceremony is over. The morning is changed. The country, in a small but real way, is also changed because it has just admitted 30 new members of a kind it had previously been slow to admit. That image, the careful, slow admission of a newcomer into a long-standing community that does not easily admit newcomers, is the image I want you to hold for what we're going to talk about today. This is Rust Gently, a patient introduction to how computers actually work and to one particular language for talking to them. I am your host. This is episode 30, The Linux Kernel, 3 years in. Today we are going to look at one of the most significant cultural moments in the history of modern systems programming. The day in 2022 when the Linux kernel, the piece of software that runs underneath nearly every server, every Android phone, every internet router, every embedded device of any complexity, formally accepted Rust as its second supported programming language. We're going to talk about why this was such a big deal. We're going to talk about what has happened in the 3 years since. We're going to be honest about the friction, the politics, the actual drivers that have shipped, and what all of this tells us about the broader trajectory of Rust in the next decade. By the end of the episode, you will understand why this particular event is, in many ways, the single most important data point in the story of where Rust is going. Let me back up to what the Linux kernel actually is, because this matters for what comes next. The Linux kernel is, at the simplest level, the piece of software that sits between the physical hardware of a computer and everything else that runs on top of it. When your phone shows you a notification, when a server somewhere returns a web page to your browser, when a robot in a factory turns a motor, the kernel is the part of the software stack that is talking to the physical chips and devices on behalf of all the applications. It is, by some measures, the most widely deployed piece of software ever written. Every Android phone in the world has a copy. Every cloud server, except for a small minority running Windows, has a copy. The kernel is everywhere, and it has been everywhere for more than 30 years. For almost all of those 30 years, the kernel was written in exactly one language, C. The C language is, as we have discussed before in this show, fast, powerful, and dangerously low level. It gives the programmer almost no protection. It is the language that the kernel community grew up with. It is the language in which all of the existing code is written. It is the language that every maintainer has spent decades mastering. The culture of the kernel community is bound up with C in a way that is difficult to overstate. The kernel maintainers are famously direct, famously demanding of code quality, famously slow to adopt new ideas. Linus Torvalds, the founder of the project, has been known to reject patches with a directness that has become its own kind of internet legend. The community that surrounds the kernel is one of the most conservative open source communities in computing. For decades, every attempt to bring another programming language into the kernel was rejected. Not out of hostility, but out of caution. The kernel was working. The risks of mixing languages were real. The benefits of any new language had to be enormous to be worth the cost. And no language for 30 years had been enormous enough. Then, in 2022, that changed. After years of debate, after careful technical work by a small group of engineers led by a developer named Miguel Ojeda, the kernel community agreed to accept Rust as a second supported language. The agreement was carefully scoped at first. Rust code would not, initially, replace any existing C code. Rust would only be used for new code, particularly for device drivers, which are the small pieces of kernel code that talk to specific pieces of hardware. The acceptance was framed as an experiment. The community would see how it went. The significance of this was hard to overstate, even at the time. The Linux kernel, the single most influential open source project in software, had decided that the trade-off Rust offered, safety without sacrificing performance, was worth opening its doors for the first time in three decades. The decision sent a signal to every other systems programming project in the world. If the kernel was willing to consider this language, every other project should at least look. 3 years on, what has actually happened? The first thing to know is that progress has been steady but slow. The kernel is enormous. Rust, as of now, represents a tiny fraction of the total kernel code. But the Rust portion is growing. The drivers that have shipped include components for managing solid-state drives, for handling certain kinds of cryptographic operations, for talking to specific network cards, for the file systems built by Apple that the kernel has historically been slow to support. There is a project to write a scheduler experiment in Rust. There's work on the file system layer. The progress is incremental, but it is real and visible. The second thing to know is that the cultural friction has been real and not over. There have been public disagreements on the kernel mailing list between developers who champion the Rust work and developers who would prefer that the kernel stay C only. The most visible of these disputes around the file system layer led to one prominent C maintainer publicly stepping back from his role in protest. The community has not fully agreed on how Rust will be integrated. The shape of the integration is still being worked out in public in slow, careful threads on a mailing list that anyone can read. The third thing to know, and this is the one that I think tells you the most about where this is going, is that the trajectory is clearly forward. Despite the friction, despite the disputes, Rust in the kernel has gone from a small experiment to a recognized, supported, growing part of the code base. New drivers are being written in Rust. Existing maintainers are slowly learning the language. Companies are sponsoring kernel Rust work full-time. The momentum is not toward Rust being rolled back. It is toward Rust being more deeply integrated, more widely used, applied to more parts of the kernel that have historically been the source of memory safety bugs. For the broader industry, the kernel's acceptance of Rust has been the loudest possible signal that this language is serious. If the project with the most conservative culture in systems programming, with the most stringent code quality standards, with the most experienced and demanding maintainers, has decided that this language is worth admitting, then every other systems project has implicit permission to do the same. Microsoft's adoption of Rust in the Windows kernel, which had been quietly underway for years, accelerated visibly after the Linux acceptance. Google's adoption in Android, especially for security-critical code, expanded. The broader cultural permission, granted by the Linux project's slow, careful yes, has rippled across the entire systems programming world. It is worth saying a little more about the cultural dimension, because this is the part of the story that does not show up in the technical write-ups. The Linux kernel community, for 30 years, has been built around a particular kind of expertise. Engineers who understand C at the deepest level. Engineers who know the kernel's history, its conventions, its idioms, its quirks. The introduction of a second language, even in a small experimental capacity, has meant that some of that expertise is no longer the only path to contribution. A new generation of engineers who came up writing Rust is now finding a way into the kernel community that did not exist a few years ago. The old guard's reaction to this has been mixed, and honestly so. Some maintainers have embraced the change, both because they see the technical advantages and because they recognize that bringing in new contributors is healthy for the long-term life of the project. Other maintainers have been more skeptical, worried about fragmentation, worried about the cost of supporting two languages in one code base, worried about the precedent of opening the door to additional languages in the future. Both reactions are legitimate. Both are visible in the public discussions on the mailing list. The community is in real time working out what it wants to be. There's also a quieter story about who is doing the actual work. Much of the early Rust kernel code was contributed by a small number of engineers, often paid by companies that have a strategic interest in seeing Rust succeed in the kernel. Google, Microsoft, and a few smaller companies have all sponsored kernel Rust work. The fact that this work is being done at all, at production quality, by paid full-time engineers, is itself a signal of how serious the bet is. The kernel community has historically depended on a mix of paid corporate contributors and unpaid hobbyists. The Rust portion is, for now, disproportionately on the paid side, because the corporate sponsors see the long-term value clearly enough to fund it. Over time, as more hobbyist contributors learn Rust and start submitting their own kernel work, the balance will shift, but the early years of this transition are being carried by the companies that have decided to pay for it. There's one more thing worth saying about all of this, which is about what it means for the long term. The Linux kernel is a 30-year project. The Rust portion of it is now 3 years in. If you imagine where this might be 10 years from now, you can see a picture where Rust has gone from a small experimental section of the kernel to a meaningful percentage, perhaps a majority, of all new kernel code, while the existing C code continues to run alongside it. The transition will not be fast. It will not be complete in any short time frame. But the direction of travel is now clear, and it points, slowly but steadily, away from C only and toward a kernel that is increasingly written in a language that does not let the most common class of bugs even compile. One more thing worth saying, because it gets lost in the technical debates. The Linux kernel's acceptance of Rust is, in a real sense, the closing of a 30-year argument about whether memory safety and the performance of systems programming were genuinely intentioned. For most of that 30 years, the conventional wisdom was that you could have one or the other, and that the kernel, being the most performance-critical software in the world, had to choose performance and live with the memory bugs as the price. Rust, by demonstrating that you can have both, has effectively settled that argument. The kernel's yes is the moment the rest of the field acknowledged the new answer. It is, in this sense, more than an adoption decision. It is the end of one era of systems programming and the beginning of another. Three things to carry away from today. The first is that the Linux kernel, after 30 years of accepting only one programming language, formally admitted Rust as a second supported language in 2022, and that decision was the loudest possible signal that this language has earned a place in the most demanding part of the software industry. The second is that 3 years on, progress has been slow but steady, with real drivers shipped, real friction in the community, and a clearly forward trajectory that suggests the Rust portion of the kernel will keep growing for years to come. The third is that this acceptance gave broader cultural permission to every other systems project to consider Rust, and the ripple effects, visible at Microsoft, at Google, and throughout the industry, are still unfolding. Next time on Rust, gently, we are going to look at another quiet revolution that has been happening alongside the kernel work, the slow systematic replacement of memory-unsafe cryptographic libraries with memory-safe Rust ones, and why this particular migration is one of the most consequential security stories of the decade. Until then, take good care of yourself. I will see you in the next one.